great. Well, thank you, Alan. We're now going to move on to the question and answer session. I invite you to keep typing in questions as you think of them, and we'll get through them in the time remaining. Let's see. We'll start off, Alan, since you just finished, we'll just start off with a question for you while your presentation's fresh in everyone's minds. How many of your sites are at public rest areas, or are they mostly at private truck stops? And have you found any way around some of the limits on privatization at rest areas?
All of our sites in Tennessee are at truck stops, and the as we understand it right now, Congress removed that option of installing these at rest areas. And I guess it hinges upon the definition of commercial activities. And so all of ours are at truck stops right now. I think it would be advantageous if we were able to put them in at rest areas, but right now, no, we've not found a way around that prohibition.
All right, thank you. We'll go backwards in order of presentations. We'll ask some questions of Alan and Rebecca. Are there any green corridors in Georgia? And if there are, do you have any links or resources for that information?
Rebecca, you may know more. This is Alan. The only thing I know is that Georgia EPD, Environmental Protection Division, had some funding from the Federal Economic Stimulus Program to put in truck stop electrification equipment at, I think, at least a couple of sites. But Mr. Richard McDonald at Georgia EPD would be the good contact. And he's also requesting proposals. I think he was actually having a conference call today to discuss a competitive grant process that he's having for CMEC funding of truck stop electrification facilities. But again, that's Richard McDonald at Georgia EPD.
Yeah, that's correct. There's another $2.5 million that he was discussing on the call this morning. And the ERA funding has funded TSC at several truck stops around the state of Georgia, in addition to the one that you saw on the Shore Power map. There are a couple in the Metro Atlanta area. There's one in Unadilla on I-75, and it's they're not all using the same type of technology. Some of those are idle air. So there are a number of them, at this point, compared to the number of truck stops in the state of Georgia, it's still a pretty small number. And the other challenge we have is the truck stop owners themselves, of course, have to be interested in doing this. And the truck stop we have right in Metro Atlanta, where we would see the most exposures, almost 500 spaces right in the city, it is a Petro truck stop owned by Travel Centers of America, and they've made a corporate decision not to engage in TSC. So we're having to try and figure out how to change their mind about that so that they can apply for this funding.
All right, thank you. Rebecca, another question for you. Has SCDC considered the emission reductions through increased mixed-use development and connectivity in urban areas rather than considering locating housing no closer than 300 meters to the edge of the roadway?
I saw that one, and I'm not sure if this question is about reducing exposures to commuters on the roadway. I'm not sure exactly what the Mr. Kokaba is trying to get at there. One of the real challenges with SCDC making these kinds of recommendations is we really don't have any authority to say the planning ought to take place in this way or that way. What we are trying to do is make sure that this is on the radar screen of the MPO planners, of the state-level DOT planners, and there are lots of different ways to reduce exposure. So that you are very right to point out that just looking at distance is not the only way to do it. The way in which urban planning is taking place overall within an area is going to influence where the concentration of goods movement takes place, and whether you have lots and lots of commuters, as we do in Atlanta, sharing roadways with them, as compared with using transit, walking and biking to get where they need to go.
All right, thank you. Another question for you. Do you have any new references to studies about effectiveness and cost effectiveness of various mitigation measures?
Yes, with respect to effectiveness. I haven't seen any looking at cost effectiveness. And what I would be happy to do, if that individual would send me an email, rebecca@mocleanair.org, I will send you the recommendations that we submitted to the Atlanta Regional Commission, and those recommendations include a list of all references for scientific papers that look at the effectiveness of roadside structures in mitigating dispersion of fine and ultrafine particles. There are only a handful of studies. It's really an emerging and growing field. There hasn't been a lot been done, but there are enough studies to be suggestive, and I would be happy to share those.
All right, thank you. We'll move on to some questions for Jamie now. Jamie, do the energy intensity GCO2 for trucking include idling during rest periods?
Right, yeah, and this is where I was pointing out the top-down numbers that get generated from national statistics. You have to be handled with care. In a lot of the top-down estimates, idling is accounted for, and part of that's because the surveys that are conducted, the trucking industry reports the total fuel that it consumes, and then it reports the total ton miles of goods that it's moved. And if you take the total fuel and energy units divided by total ton miles, you get this top-down or number. The caution there is the reality, if you're looking at a particular route or a particular origin destination pair, there may or may not be a lot of idling based on congestion and other factors. And so when you're doing regional analysis or even local analysis, that's when you really need to get in some of the other modeling that I presented.
Okay, thank you. Another question for you. Have you looked at positive or negative effects of population density as it relates to your studies on freight flows? Do you have any information that compares an equal population distribution versus what is currently occurring and a what if of a region either increasing or decreasing in population density?
Yeah, this is an interesting question. We haven't done any what if studies with increasing or decreasing population. We would expect with some of the decreasing populations we're seeing in the Northeast and the increasing populations in the Southwest and Southeast, that we would start to see some shifts in flows based on where the population centers are. I'll also point out another interesting population element. If you recall, one of my slides showed a route that we evaluated from Jacksonville to Raleigh, North Carolina. And tying into what Rebecca and Alan had talked about, the location of the emissions is really important when you're looking at these local health effects. And if you recall on that slide, one of the things that we were evaluating was instead of sending trucks or locomotives for that matter up the Eastern Seaboard, putting goods on short sea ships, shipping, and with the wind patterns, even though emissions can sometimes be higher for ships than say locomotives, population that's exposed is much less, of course, because the emissions are occurring out over the water. So this population question is a really interesting one. I unfortunately haven't done the what ifs that Mary Lee is suggesting, but it'd be interesting to do.
Okay, thank you. We have another question for Alan Bates. Do you have any recommendations of how to promote use of TSEs that are already up and running?
We're now in this stage, and this is one of the things I was going to point out, is that so much of what we're doing requires critical mass to achieve basically a certain level of plug-in infrastructure that it will be adopted on a wide scale. And it's such a challenge because, you know, we're going out, we're talking to fleet, we're talking to folks out there. When you're only available in a couple of locations or, you know, a small number, it's not quite as compelling. You know, a trucking company might not be as likely to adopt a technology or retrofit a truck or what have you. So the short answer is in terms of what we're doing, grand openings, education, awareness, we're going to trade shows, we're giving out a lot of free shore power. So over the next 6 to 9 months, we're going to be giving out probably thousands of hours of free shore power. I mean, just in terms of getting people to use it, getting people to understand what it is. So there's a push and a pull, and we have to kind of go on both sides to be able to really paint the picture. And part of that's going to be, again, through just simple, you know, guerrilla marketing, education awareness, some free shore power, making sure that information is available at the sites, so signage, brochures, et cetera. So it's a multi-pronged approach.
All right. Another question for you. Are communities requiring that truck distribution centers install shore power? Are there any citations?
There are some communities now, I believe in California, that have started to require a certain amount of infrastructure be available at warehouses or shipping centers. I don't have the full knowledge of that because we're mostly focusing on public areas, you know, truck stops, et cetera. But from what I understand, they have started to mandate some distribution centers install some infrastructure to be able to let their trucks plug in. Citations, there are citations going on. We know for sure in California, we've heard that Texas has implemented some more strict enforcement. We've heard of New Jersey and Massachusetts being a little bit more aggressive, and New York has had some recent news about enforcement. But in general, because there's not a lot of great alternatives yet to idling, when a driver is freezing or you know, it is 110 degrees outside, they have to do something. And so up until now, there's not really been a whole lot of options. If there is an opportunity to plug in and they're still idling, that's when there's a problem. And that's, you know, we're trying to get enough equipment out there to give them that option.
All right, thank you. I don't see any more questions typed in at the moment, so we still have some time. So what I'll do is ask if the operator could give instructions in case anybody does want to ask a question over the phone, but also feel free to type in any additional questions.
At this time, I'd like to remind everyone, in order to ask a question through the phone, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. And we have no questions from the telephone line.
All right, thank you. Well, we'll go ahead and close out a little bit early. If you think of something last minute, feel free to type it in, and I'll stop and go back to the question. But I want to thank all of our presenters for presenting at today's webinar. And thank you for everybody in attendance. We'll have the recording and the presentations available online within the next few weeks, and I'll send out an email once they're available. I'll also send out an email once AICP certification maintenance credits are available on the AICP website. As a reminder, if you are an AICP member and you want to receive credits for attending today, please make sure that you're either signed in with your first and last name or type your name into the chat box if you are attending with a group of people. I encourage everybody to download the evaluation form that's available in the download box in the lower right corner of the screen and send it back to me. We're currently planning on seminars for the second half of 2012, and we also welcome any input on topic ideas. The next seminar will be held on April 18th and will be the second part of this Freight and the Environment series. The address at which you can register is shown on the slide on your screen. It's the third to last bullet where it says register for future seminars. And that seminar is now open for registration. I encourage, if you haven't done so, to join the Freight Planning Listserv. That's our primary means of advertising Talking Freight, as well as it's an opportunity to share and exchange other freight-related information. So with that, I don't see any additional questions, so we'll go ahead and close out for today. So thank you, everybody, and enjoy the rest of your day.